God, finally someone has made a film that Republicans will flock to go see, and all the ills of America.
Oh, I know.
Will
I
once and for all be fixed. And that is Michael Moore's. Wait, Michael Moore's? Oh, yeah, nobody's going to see it, but all of us who are absolutely convinced already of everything in it.
Well, I was a Republican before I saw this movie.
Oh, see?
But now I'm a bra-burning liberal communist. I might be black.
I was none of those, but I'm just glad there's finally a white guy willing to stand up for me and take it back for us minorities.
Thanks for white knighting us, Michael Moore.
It's true.
We're the ones who started the problem. We're the ones who have to say, okay, we're sorry. It's yours. Take it back.
Or literally, we outnumber them any day of the week, you guys.
We're just trying to avoid violence at this point.
The rest of them, we can just take it.
We know once we arm you guys, it's over.
By force, with jokes, by any means necessary.
That's all we have, because our arms are weak. Yeah. We can't lift heavy things.
Yeah, right, because we don't have math, for one.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just reading up about Angela Merkel and Margaret Thatcher, because they've been such bastions of your sex.
God
so
damn
wonderful
them!
Wonderful for everybody else's
one
leaders.
One bad apple.
I just love how one of the many things in this documentary where Michael Moore is going around the world trying to show places where other countries are doing things
that work.
That really work. One of the points he makes that was a little like, okay, I agree with you, there should need to be more of a balance between women and men, but his the old woman would never let bad things happen if they were leaders. It's like, yeah, like Sarah Palin.
I cringed at that. It was a little too oversimplified there. Like, well, women don't go to war. Yes. Yeah, but let's look at history and they do go to war.
Yeah, and this is really like... he's certainly taking a look at a broad spectrum of different countries, and certainly enough, as is his style, making a very pop film about politics, where we're never really seeing the complete picture. We're seeing inspirational nodes of good ideas, like reformed prison systems, mm-hmm. and actually putting bankers in jail when they steal money.
This is a radical idea.
Yeah. What else? Having
vacation time,
free college education, mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of stuff.
Nutritious meals for children. That's a weird idea.
Yeah. That's a taste of something.
So he's going to all these different countries and looking at this and, you know, and saying, look, why, and talking to these people. And he's going like, oh yeah, we're invading here because we're going to your country and we're planting our flag and we're going to steal your ideas. And
rather than stealing oil or uranium right. or all the other mm-hmm. shit you've been, or you know, what exactly did you steal from Vietnam?
Every time I see that number that says that he shows again here, 60% of our taxes go to the military. I just go, I get so mad. I'm like, no, who the hell thinks that's okay?
I think it was Vietnamese coffee we stole.
Yeah.
Because that shit is good,
it's
y'all.
It's pretty damn good.
That shit is good.
But I actually point out that mostly what happened was that the large numbers of Vietnamese people left, went to France and opened extremely good Vietnamese restaurants in Paris.
Which is something else we can do when we all move to France. Because I got to be honest, y'all. Based on this movie, that shit looked good.
Yeah, when they were showing
cheese all the time, just like, cheese.
The kids at school, and they're like, "This is their menu. This is what they eat every day." And I was like, "I haven't eaten a meal that looks that good."
Yeah,
like I'm not sure ever. Actually,
I'll cook for you.
Well, I know, because you're from Europe, and you're like, yeah, we
understand what cuisine is. I do love it when Americans mock British food, and I went, have you seen you in your entirety?
And they're going, asking the chef, so what's the cheese is the kid's favorite? I mean, it's literally a refrigerator full of nothing but different types of cheese for school kids at the public school. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, they like camembert probably the best. I'm just like... Why couldn't I have been born in France?
I think I didn't have camembert until I was like 18. It was like, you can't have it until you're an adult.
Yeah, all we have here is cheddar and Swiss. And
American plastic cheese.
What is provolone? Like, this is a thing that does not exist outside of
Italian.
You guys, I'll take this. See, here in America, we have two types of cheese. It comes in yellow and white. And then to separate once we've separated on color, the only thing we can do is based on shape. Provolone is white, comma round. You're welcome.
I thought it was Italian.
I know that's a common misnomer that they would be real offended about. Like, I don't want to say it's racist to say that, but it's not. It's
just American to say it.
Yeah, it's very American.
Well, besides the lovely cheeses and various things that we got to see in this film, I think it was a very cherry-picked version of Europe. So they open with a trip to Italy and talking about all the holidays that Italians get. But he didn't even mention that the Italian economy tanked and is still not quite recovered.
But that's nothing to do with the holiday.
Yeah.
I mean, you are looking at the best examples of what a culture can offer.
But they don't don't talk about unemployment either.
Massive corruption on behalf of the Italian banking system is scarcely the responsibility of people to get decent vacation time, which is proven time and time again to actually make you, you know, more effective and more efficient at your job, which is the main point that he's
making. I'm not saying that vacation time is a bad thing. I totally agree with that. I lived in Japan for 6 years, and as much as the Japanese work, they have it's something like 12 or no sorry a minimum of 10 vacation days a year, and then the national holidays I think total up to about 20 days, so that's about a month off from work that you get mandatory, like the office closes down on national holidays. Does that make Japan a more efficient and better country? No, they have their own problems. But like in this documentary with Italy and Portugal, they don't really talk about that. And that's my problem usually with Michael Moore's films, is he looks at the very good things of what he wants to present and ignores some of the other issues
or vice versa
that might be attached with it. Now, well, I am a bleeding heart liberal, like, to my death, but there has to be some kind of balance.
Well, but I don't think there does have to be in this instance, because the whole point of this is here's stuff that's good. This is a film about here's stuff that's good. And in fact, he does at one point where, yeah, when he looks at the maximum security prison in Sweden, where he goes, yeah, okay, showed you a regular prison, which looks like a holiday camp, but actually really seems to be based on the underlying principles of Foucault's Discipline and Punish. Look it up, kids. It's a book. And then goes to the maximum security one. It's like, so you're actually trying to rehabilitate people? And this isn't just about being horrible to them, which is the sole purpose of the American penal system?
Well, and this is actually some...
Wow. And I think this is the thing. It's not so much about saying we have to take these precise policies as saying maybe America needs to reconsider basic underlying precepts.
Yeah, and that's
kind of...
And nobody's having these discussions.
That's kind of what I got from this, too. And I thought this was actually a lot more balanced than a lot of his other films, in that it was... He's never like, look, Europe is so much more wonderful than we are all together. He just is going around saying, look at these things that did work in these different countries. Mm-hmm. You know, if he was going, yep, and everything in France is better than we have, he never actually says that.
True.
You know, I don't even think it's implied. It's just like, look at this one thing they're doing that really works for them in this country. And, you know, and then bringing it back around to the point of saying, guess what? All those ideas, we actually came up with those first in America. We just, let our rich take control of things and made us believe that it was un-American to feel that way about stuff that were our ideas.
Yeah.
And that's actually true.
There's a CEO at the end who points out that, America's all about, you know, you and the world revolves around an individual, and we don't really think of as a group. And I think that was probably the most important message we can take away from this documentary, that in other countries, it's about you as part of a larger group. And I think that's our problem in the U.S., that we don't really give a shit about everybody else.
I think Americans generally do. But I think there's what Michael Moore kind of points to here is an inherent paranoia that has been inculcated into American culture. Americans are very afraid of things at the moment, and that's really what this says is you don't have to be.
Well, that's
things can actually be okay. You don't have to live under constant terror that if you take a couple of days off, automatic. I mean, and this is one of the interesting things that one of the reasons a lot of Americans don't take the vacation time that they've actually been earned, and not even been given anymore, totally earned, then, yeah, they won't take it because they're afraid the company will fall apart without them.
Yeah.
Which is,
or they'll lose their job because the company will just go and hire him. Which right now, in the system, they're right. The company will do that because there's no protections for workers here. You know, yeah, if you go and you don't work more than the actual law says you know, like you go, okay, so I only have to work this much to keep my job. But that's the thing, is so many of these states are like, oh, they're ironically named right to work state what have you. Yeah. Where it's like, yeah, sure, no, we can't fire you for doing less than 40 hours, but you're also a lot less productive than these other people, so we're going to let you go. Mm-hmm. And that's because those other people are showing up an extra 10 or 15 hours a week because they know they're going to lose their job if they don't. There's so many little things like that built in the system that, yeah, we've created a system that's self-perpetuating fear on all these different levels. That's always been one of Michael Moore's major themes, is how we sell fear in America. That's what we do. We make you afraid of everything so that you stay in line and you keep doing what is best for those already in power to do. It's the most subliminal and devious form of slowly encroaching totalitarianism ever developed. And I'm sorry, that's exactly what it is. Everyone's like, oh, land of the free. And yes, technically that's true. But who could afford to be truly free? Michael Moore points it out without getting anywhere near as angry as I do about it.
Well, I think a little related to that is something that always gets me when I think about American policy, which is that somehow we've sort of lost the idea of our goal. Mm. And so if I say I'm against the war on drugs, or if I say that I want to open back up clinics that support women's health, maybe even the right for women to access abortions, then I'm pro-abortions, I'm pro-drugs, I'm pro-violent crime, when it's like, actually, guys,
I am.
Our
goal.
yeah, fair enough.
There we go.
But it's, you know, even for like more mainstream people, it's like, well, hold on. Actually, what we want to do is decrease teenage birth rates. We want to decrease STDs. We want to decrease violent crimes.
Well, that's 'cause
and so when we start developing systems and we keep that goal in mind,
yeah,
then a lot of what he's saying makes sense.
Well, that's 'cause
the problem is that we've lost sight of that as our goal, and we demonize the people who are trying to make policies that speak to that goal as saying that, oh, you're soft on crime.
So they took control.
Oh, you're pro-abortion.
They took control of the
narrative. Oh, you're pro... Yeah. Exactly.
They completely control the narrative now. Whereas anybody who's actually speaking sense is...
Like I just was.
I know it was a little ironic, agreed.
No, has words thrown at them like liberal, which, remember when liberal wasn't a dirty word?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when it wasn't spat out? When they turned it into an insult. They made it demonizing.
I agree. That was exactly what I was getting at.
And that was the key to this whole thing. That's what happened to America. Is somebody really smart and evil somewhere figured out we just got to control the language.
Well, and one interesting thing that I like that he pointed out was that, in addition to, in a more general sense, taking control of that narrative, they also institutionalize that when it comes to our prison systems. So as far as taking away the right to vote for many Black male Americans, like when it comes to Black men, I really like that he called that out in particular, because in a more, you know, poetic way, we can all sort of see that playing out in politics, but in a very real way, as far as taking the vote away from this huge population of our citizens, in a really important way, I like that that really got highlighted.
You know, I wish that this had actually been broken up into several different documentaries, because I wanted a little bit more on that. So even like the issues about school lunches, they could make a whole documentary about that and just how it perpetuates unhealthy eating in America, and like Europeans always ask, you're so fat.
There is that, you know, there are documentaries that do exactly that, and people tend to go, so much to get through there. And it's like they actually have really hard times getting distribution. So in some ways, this kind of, 20,000 foot overview is the only way you can get these kind of issues into American cinemas, which is the depressing thing. I mean, the Matt Damon documentary, American Teacher, had a hellish time getting distro. And that was narrated and produced by Matt Damon. And I was like, he can't get this kind of film in there. You know, I think
Hang on. Did he smile? when he presented the reel.
Was Ben Affleck there?
I've seen that man smile, and I couldn't tell him no.
That's why they thought that The Martian was a best comedy or musical.
The government didn't have to rescue him from somewhere, so they didn't want it. But, I mean, fair enough, but... I mean, there's so much that could have been said about so many different things. I think this was a bit too over, like, a huge umbrella of the myriad of issues that we have in the United States, and I'd like to get individual documentaries.
Well, let me get your opinion on this, though. Keeping in mind what Richard said about, like, if a more targeted documentary would have had difficulty getting distribution and has in the past... weighing that against getting this in front of the people who are willing to embrace it, which are not Republicans. We've already we've already covered that. The people who are maybe... is there something to be said about the strength of that approach?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
I mean, like, all right, so, like, you're right. Every bit, every chapter of this story obviously could be delved into deeper. But Moore has said repeatedly that what he is basically an entertainer. He doesn't even think of himself as a documentarian. Okay.
But, I mean, he already did it with Sicko.
But, I mean, like, Sicko, and it was also one of his less performing films as well.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. I generally speaking do like Michael Moore's films, but you have to look at them in exactly the way he intends. He's trying to make a film that will get the maximum amount of viewers to come over and actually maybe pay attention to these things by... you know, giving them a spoonful of sugar, entertaining them as it goes, which means not getting too in-depth.
Yeah.
And I think what works here is that he does bind these issues all together. He does say, look, you can't just fix one thing and everything's going to be better. There's a whole panoply of issues that you have to tackle, that you have to look at, you know, diet. And diet can't be treated by going to people and saying, hey, we're going to give you food, decent food when you're 50. You have to get them when they're young. You have to talk about vacation time, because vacation time, therefore, gets reflected in things like maternity and paternity leave, which affects education. You know, you've got to talk about wages. You've got to talk about prison system. You know, how many people are sent there, how long they're there, how you treat them while they're there. You have to put all those pieces together. And I think if you actually do those individual documentaries, yes, they're extremely valuable. But there's also extreme value in taking this holistic overview, almost a shamanic approach to it.
And I like that, especially that at the end he really goes, like, the problem is we look at each single one of these issues like an impossible, insurmountable wall to deal with. That's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. Things have always been this way, which is untrue.
Not true.
But, that's the thing, is we're brought up in a world where it feels like they've been that way, is where the frogs in the slowly boiling pot of water.
Yep.
But then he points out gay marriage. It happened, did you really think, like 10 years ago, did anyone think
3 years ago
did anyone think gay marriage would be the law of the land? And he's, you know,
everyone get gay married,
and he's walking by the bridge. I would if I could, but
Chris, Richard,
I haven't met a man yet who I care for in that way. Sorry, Richard, I know you've tried.
Ashley, but, I know you and me.
I like you, but you know.
Yeah, I like that Chris said that he had met a man who felt that way about him.
Yeah.
Aww.
I'll sleep with anybody. And as he's saying this speech, he's walking by the Berlin Wall, the remains of the Berlin Wall, and saying, yeah, I mean, come on, the point is that as insurmountable as all these different things are, all these things that would be better if we would open our minds up and go, it is possible, it could work. That's the point in and of itself. It could work. You just have to open yourself to these new ideas, old ideas and practice.
And that brings... like, your question at the beginning, or your point at the beginning, is who's the audience for this? Us? Yeah. Like, of course we're going to watch it, but the people who are ignorant about this or don't believe it, are they ever going to watch this documentary?
I don't think it needs to be them. I mean, I think there is going to be part of that audience as well. But honestly, American liberals, excuse me, are so terrified of their own fucking shadows.
True.
That, you know, they kind of... pulled themselves back to this, you know, I'll say it, a Clinton-esque level, where they're going, like,
quite literally,
well, we can have some marginal change and maybe, you know, tweak a few things. And there are damn good reasons why in the polls, Bernie Sanders is pulling better numbers against every single Republican challenger in head-to-heads. Because he goes out there and says, No, you can swing for the fences. You can change this. You can demand a minimum wage. You can demand vacations and maternity leave. You can say, fuck it, we're not going to depend on Roe versus Wade. We're actually going to put protections into law for abortion rights. That's it. End of story. And, you know, the left, occasionally in America, need to kick up the arse and reminding us, like, oh, yeah, we don't always have to be on the defensive.
Yeah.
We can have some principles. You know, and I...
Because we've been sliding so gradually towards the middle for years, and now we're sliding past the middle to the right. I mean,
yeah.
The Democratic candidates are these days are closer to Reagan than they are to mm-hmm. anybody oh, else.
Goldwater would be a Democrat now.
Yeah.
Barry Goldwater would be a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat now, which is a terrifying position. And it's because the Dems have given up. You know, they basically have got caught in this whole thing of saying, well, you know, you've got to fight for the middle ground. And they've given up on their own rump. They've given up on their own base, who feel alienated from the DNC. You know, like, I talked to enough Democratic activists who are like, you know, fucking DNC. Jesus, those guys are worthless. Like, what, they won't fight for anything. And then Democrats won't even run in seats. I mean, like, this is Texas, where, yeah, it's gerrymandered as hell, but you only win a seat if you actually put somebody up there.
Yeah
and we're being taught now, like, a popular... The idea is, well, why bother voting for anything or anyone or doing anything? Nothing's going to change and the bad guys will always win. This is the dominant dialogue happening in our country right now. People who are very smart people who have just themselves completely given up. And I go, please don't, because that's exactly what was causing this downslide in the first place. Us losing interest in the system. Us saying, well... You know, I guess if it was meant to be this way, it would have been. Or, oh, things are this way, so that's the way they have to be. It's insulting to everyone else's intelligence who realizes that's not true, that this kind of sentiment is even still being put out there. And I think the important thing of films like this still is that even though you'll see a lot of left-wingers, like you and me see it, but a lot of left-wingers
speak for yourself.
Today are very apathetic.
Yeah.
You know, or like, it'll never change. Maybe this does serve a purpose then. Maybe it's them going like, hey, it's time to get back off your ass and try and actually do something. If not, openly try and change the dialogue.
And I think at the end of the day, there are also a large number of moderate Republicans who feel totally alienated from their party as well, who are sat there going, you know, things weren't so shitty and I actually, you know, had vacation time and I didn't have to earn every single day of vacation time through the year. And it rolled over at my company, and I could actually keep some.
Well, I don't
even
know.
Remember those? Shit, that was last year.
I don't know.
They're the kind of people who may well find something really to listen to here.
Well, and I don't even know if they have to necessarily relate to this film in particular.
Mm-hmm.
The only Republicans I know, and this is probably a bit of bias because obviously I'm liberal and most of my friends are liberal, but they're more of like the libertarian type Republican. They have completely lost faith in their party because the kind of Trump Tea Party direction that the Republican Party now has to tend with doesn't have anything to do with how they feel about politics or how they became members of the Republican Party and are becoming increasingly, I don't know where those folks go these days.
At this point, the libertarian Republicans are kind of like the log cabin Republicans. It's like, how much do you eat yourself?
Exactly.
You know, I'm sorry.
Like what do you do?
There's a degree of minimal sympathy for them because it really is like, really?
I don't know.
But we like you over here. Come over to this side.
I don't like this. A lot of Republicans who have gone to voting Democrat and they complain about it, but they're like... I mean, he said just what I said. Like, Hillary Clinton is basically a Reagan-era conservative.
Yeah, like, you know? Not that far off.
It's like, that's actually what I like, and that not me, but that's what they're saying I like in politics is people like that. So, yeah, that's good. I guess I'm technically a Democrat now.
Republicans who would argue about the interpretation of the facts rather than what the Republican base seems to be at the moment, which is Republicans who would argue about the existence of facts.
Yeah,
well, I mean, true. Also, I don't think they're actually racists, which, like, Donald Trump is an actual racist.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin is actually probably a racist.
Yeah. A lot of the support of the Republican Party at this point is nothing more than one of the most successful uses of the concept of branding ever.
Yeah,
of right. Just making it, hey, it's your team. It's your football team. It's Republican. You can't vote against your team. It's your home team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea, oh, it's, I mean, that's, we're trained from a very young age to feel that way about America. And then it just keeps going up level to level. What is it? What's the car you drive? I buy nothing but this brand of car. Yeah. Oh, this is my soda. I drink Coke.
You know? And, you know, it wouldn't be so bad, but Pontiacs, dude?
Well, the PT Cruiser, anyway. Ugh.
You gotta let that Aztec die, bro.
Yeah,
you
seriously.
Gotta let it die.
Ugliest car ever.
I mean, bringing it back to the film a little bit.
Oh, so,
I mean, it's related to the
weird shaped cars. I didn't even get to Scion.
with the cube one. Is that?
I think that's a Scion. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
We also would have accepted Honda Element.
Or any 1980s Volkswagen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like this game.
Speaking of the Germans, the whole, like, Trump and fear and all that, they point out in the documentary that in Germany they teach how to avoid the fear and the scapegoating and things like that. And I liked that part. Of the documentary. I wish there was a documentary just on Germany at this point, on modern Germany.
Oh, right.
So, like, just go to Germany.
On the History Channel.
On modern Germany.
Yeah. They generally only have two topics these days, aliens and Germany.
Yeah. The Hitler Channel.
Yes.
One thing I really liked is that, we didn't really touch on this yet, but the idea is that Michael Moore goes around from country to country, quote, invading it. I'm doing air quotes. You guys can't see them.
I can see it.
Thanks, girl. And so what he thinks, though, instead of the usual reasons we invade countries like oil or other resources, is ideas. So he goes from country to country like France and Germany and Italy and Sweden and some
Portugal, Iceland,
some various Tunisia. Countries. Are these different ideas, and we've touched on some of them, like actually feeding kids foods that looks like food, with the idea that they'll grow up understanding what a healthy diet means.
And without rickets.
And he goes to Italy and learns about vacation. One thing I really liked about his visit to Portugal, where they abolished their war on drugs, I'm doing air quotes again.
Yep.
A decade ago?
I don't see him this time. I'm blind.
A decade ago, something like that?
Yeah, 15 years.
15 years? Mm-hmm. Okay. And so about 15 years ago, they abolished their war on drugs so that using drugs is no longer criminalized. And so when Michael Moore is talking to some police officers and also is the Minister of Health and some other folks there, he kind of takes away. He's like, okay, so you guys decriminalized drugs and then saw a decrease in drug abuse and drug-related crimes. And they said, yes, but just decriminalizing drugs won't work in and of itself. He's like, you can't just make all drugs legal in the U.S. and expect to see the results that we have seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This got coupled with a lot of other policies related to healthcare and related to treatment and what not only do we offer healthcare, but then also the kind of benefits that are covered related to mental illness and addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that. That, agreed. Like, while he was going around to these different countries and learning about these policies, he was also, in some ways, learning about the context that made them work.
Yeah, that was one of the nice things about this. He was very prepared to be kind of the Michael Moore character. But the Michael Moore character is the idiot abroad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, he really lampoons himself in a way he never has before.
And mm-hmm. I wish he would brush his hair.
Oh, yeah.
Do something about it's those like, baggy jeans.
It was like, dude, you're meeting the president of Slovenia.
Yeah.
And you didn't even bother to brush your hair. It's just
wear a suit. He was in a sweatshirt. Seriously. But yes, go on.
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, he really is, you know, he really plays that part of kind of like, oh, I'm in my baseball cap and my jeans, and you're only Slovenia, and I can't even tell if that's Slovakia or not, and, you know, and getting lost consistently. But there were, I mean, there were some really beautiful moments in this. I mean, for example, in Portugal, where the police take him to one side and go, can we say something to the American police? Yes. Stop shooting people!
Yes. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yes.
They're human beings.
You really don't need to.
Humanity.
Yeah,
come on.
It's probably bad for you. You might end up upset by killing people.
Really haunting footage during that sequence where he's intercutting the way they treat prisoners with the way we treat prisoners and criminals, which we've seen on tape all too often lately, which is horrifying. And when you're mixing that with like his saying, well, guess what? We just basically found a way to make slavery legal again, which mm-hmm. is why we have the laws that we do, why the prisons are run by corporations now. It's like, yeah, I don't see why anybody, you try and explain that to people when they just shut off. You just see their eyes glaze over. Like, I don't want to believe that that's true, but come on. They handed control of our prisons over to corporations.
Yeah.
Of course they don't want to. Of course they want to keep putting people in prison for minor drug infractions. Of course they do. Because now it's profitable to put people in prison. Yeah, how's that going to end well?
Well, and what's crazy is it leads to this whole mentality. Like, I kind of mentioned to you guys is that, like, I got called for jury duty. I know this is, like, one anecdote, and I know this isn't a good data sample. But, for example, we're all going around. We got called for jury duty, and they're asking each potential juror the question, and the prosecutor says, okay, so sentencing is for three reasons. It's for punishment, retribution, and rehabilitation. That's why we sentence people here in the U.S. Which one's most important? So she goes down the line and asks all the jurors, and she gets to me, and I was like, well, I don't really know that these are necessarily at odds, right? She's like, well, you have to choose one. And I was like, well, it might depend on the crime, because if it's the Joker, you can't punish crazy. So that one goes out the window. At that point, it's just public safety potentially locking him up. And she's like, well, you have to pick. And I said, okay, fine, rehabilitation. And she asked why, and I said, because we're not communist China. Like, we have to at some point believe that there are other options. And there was only one other person that said that. And I don't know, maybe there's 30 or 40 or how many people they call for jury duty in the room. And the majority of the people were answering just straight up punishment.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like it creates this whole culture where, A, we forgot about the goal, which is that we want to reduce violent crimes. Which means that if we could rehabilitate people and foster an environment where this wasn't the problem, that would be better. But B, my God, they just want to, like, beat people or something? Yeah. Like, punishment?
I mean,
not even retribution?
Especially the types of people who can go to jury duty, you know, who don't have to work two jobs or, like, take care of kids. No offense, Ashley.
Oh, that's good. I didn't get chosen. I got cut.
But
Liberal.
The type of people that think that all criminals are evil and deserving of punishment, equal or, you know, the same kind of punishment, when that's not the way it works. And they show the two different Norwegian prisons, and one of them is prisoners who are on good behavior, and it's like a vacation spot. Then they show the max security prison, and it was better than my college dorm. I'll say that. But that is the wrong way of going about it. Our way of thinking that all crimes deserve punishment and retribution. It's not the way that the rest of the world looks at crime.
This is the same way police officers are being trained to think as well. I pointed out, I got out of jury duty, not trying specifically to...
Did you wear your Princess Leia costume?
No.
Did you bring
that.
A collection of Playgirls?
It didn't work for Liz Lemon.
Did you point out that you were a hologram?
No, I said, so this is a one-on-one thing, but like the cop says one thing and the guy says the other, and they're like, yeah. And they were just baffled that I was like, well, I would probably take the guy's side. And they're like, why? He's a police officer. He's like, oh, he's a figure of authority? Are you kidding me? Study after study has shown how corrupt they are by the very nature of being the one in power in that circumstance. And they have motive to make arrests.
Yep.
They have to make a certain amount of arrests. They're told to, oh, your job is to go out and arrest people, not to make this a better place and protect people. No, your job is to go arrest people. Of course I believe a guy before I believe a police officer.
But before you answer, did you get a point of clarification? No. Was it a sexy cop?
This was not a fantasy or at...
Oh, this was at the
actual court of law.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Less sexy.
Yeah, less sexy. Yeah, I mean, like, once again, it all goes back to the fact we've got an atmosphere of anger and fear. And that's the world that we live in and that is perpetuated.
And Cheetos.
And a lot
of Cheetos.
That falls under fear, I think.
Orangey terror.
Yeah, especially the spicy hot ones. All right, well, let's wrap this one up and go with final thoughts. Richard?
Well, before I pass away from consumption,
please don't
clearly.
Die. Please don't
do you do the crap?
I, for one, will miss you.
Oh, thank you.
Because, you know, health care is really bad here. So.
It is terrible. It is abysmal.
He can just go back. And
I know. I'm jealous.
I never had better health care in my life than when I was a foreign exchange student.
I know.
Yeah. I missed that. I mean, just like really, really quickly. I had a coworker who had ALS. And his whole treatment in Japan cost him $900. And the estimate for treatment for like the time he was diagnosed to his death in the U.S. was something like $50,000. So that's
fun. Well, as one doctor once said to me, there is no healthcare system in America. There is a healthcare market.
Yep.
You know, this is Michael Moore, I think, at his least acerbic and probably most heartfelt, which is, you know, a good thing. And I think this is a great conversation starter. I think it's well overdue. I think we're at a point in American politics where, you know, it has gone so far to the right, as evidenced by the Trump candidacy, that there's got to be a ricochet. There's got to be a path back to sanity. And I think this is part of a discussion of how you get back on that path by saying, hey, here's the issues we probably should be discussing. Here's the questions we probably should be looking at again. Here's the things we might want to aim for. I think this is a film, it's not a film of goals, it's a film of ambitions. And I think that is admirable. It's still fun, it's still entertaining, it's got a lighter touch, I think, than a lot of his work. And just getting people to talk about these issues again, which we did. Like,
we went through a double long review because we're discussing this.
Yeah. All I can think about is going home and just like eating my American food, sitting on the couch, not talking to my friends because I'm tired from work.
No, I think this is an extremely well-timed piece of cinema. And I think it will go down as one of Michael Moore's finer films. I'm going to give this... eight non-deletable vacation days that just come to you because things are good out of 10.
What? I didn't understand that at all. Like I said, I wish there was more. I wish this had been a series. With Michael Moore's name slapped on it and having him do it, but
he's done that.
Maybe he can't walk around as easily as we see him kind of shuffling by the Berlin Wall.
He is a little bigger in every film.
Yeah. Well, he's lost some of his like neck weight.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe whatever.
He's still like when he's walking around in like, you know, Spanish countries, everyone's so gorgeous and they're just, I'm surprised they're not running from him screaming like Frankenstein's monster.
Just like, trying to claim their wishes three.
Just like a white plastic bag.
Making sure he's not living under any bridges.
Yeah, just like, your name is Rumpelstiltskin.
Which, let us hope they're not American bridges, sure. Because those are going to...
They call
it fall down a lot.
Yeah.
Topical.
I tend to judge documentaries about based on, am I going to want to rewatch this in like a couple months, in a year, because maybe there are some things that I missed. And I feel like I knew everything in this. It's a very broad stroke view of, well, what we can achieve. And like Richard said, it's more about ambitions than actually... What can we do? What's the practical thing we can do? What are the steps we need to take? And I can't blame the movie for not going into that. It was 2 hours long, which is pretty long for a documentary. I'm going to give it 6 out of 10 gorgeous European people.
I'm going to go next so we can have Guy Doll. But
excuse me?
No one's ever called me a doll
musical.
Before.
Guys and Dolls? Come on.
All right. Also, I am a free-thinking woman, not a toy.
That's right!
But you're like...
I'm a CEO.
Okay.
No, that's a lie, but I am a free-thinking individual, not a toy.
I know you are.
But what am I? Chris, we're going to let you speak now.
I actually, you know, I mean, you guys have really already summed it up. I think I really feel what you're saying as well, Sarah, about the, like, for a while I'm going like, you know, he puts it together entertainingly, but most of this I already am intimately familiar with, mm-hmm. these things that are going on in these countries. Even so, there was stuff I didn't even know, like, Now you have an interesting new argument point for anyone who starts going, yeah, but, you know, I mean, obviously I don't think we should kill all Muslims, but let's face it, their culture's all fucked up. When they're like, did you know there's a Muslim country that has better rights for women than America
that
does?
I didn't know. Let's like, see a documentary on Tuesday.
Actual equal rights amendment passed there? Yeah. Okay. That's one I didn't know. It's kind of inspirational. And, you know, I mean, this is one of the better things he's done for a while. I think at 2 hours, it is kind of, it does feel kind of long for sure. But when it, he really gets to his summation, you're like, okay, dude, you win this one. This actually is one of your better points made. And it feels a lot less, you know, editorially spurious as some of his other films have. I did really enjoy this. I give this 8 out of 10. Greasy American cheeseburgers I would miss if this new left-wing world order comes to pass.
Oh, you mean where every restaurant's a Taco Bell, but it's all vegetarian? Mm. Is that a world I want to live in?
I did laugh when they were complaining. We found out that the meat in Taco Bell tacos is not good meat. We demand to know what's actually in it. And then they did, and they're like, oh, technically it's a lot healthier for you than if it was real meat in there. It's like vegetable proteins and stuff. And they're like, okay, slink away now.
Well, I want those same people to find out what we do use those three seashells for, because I want to know how to do that.
The one, what?
Yeah, the three seashells.
Demolition
from
Man.
From Demolition Man. That's still what we're talking about, right?
I haven't seen
what
it.
What were you guys
time.
Reviewing?
Quick, I'm going to distract her with a cat.
Look,
Ashley. Okay. Oh, is it my turn?
Go ahead, doll.
Fabulous. So there were a few things that I really liked about this film. The first one was kind of inherent in the way that he structured it. I liked that he called to attention that whenever we invade countries and start shooting people, it's about a certain kind of thing, but it's never necessarily about the ideas that we could take back from these people. Mm-hmm. And so I really did like that. I like this whole kind of sort of jokey, but also kind of serious thing about him going to these different countries to take back from them some intellectual property that we might then be able to capitalize on. So I liked that quite a bit. One thing that did irk me, I can't say it didn't, was that he doesn't label his charts. I find that frustrating.
Label his what?
His charts. Throughout the film, he had a certain number of charts. None of them had labels. That annoys me. And while in general, if he would, you know, if it was a line graph, have the two lines going in a certain direction next to one another, or if they were stacks of coins, as they were in the case of France, it was like, oh, I guess there are three coins more. But that is something that... that does kind of bother me.
Fair. Right. So it looked like it could have been 3% more in taxes or 30%.
It could have been a bazillion.
Yeah.
Or a million baseball caps. And yeah, we never would have known.
Is that your rating?
Nope.
Especially
nope.
U.S. Americans who clearly have problems with first.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. We're already not good at arithmetic. Like, help us out. Write it down on your goddamn charts. Overall, I really liked this film, especially for one of his. I thought that it would ignite some conversations that might not otherwise exist. And I liked how he balanced some more traditionally left-wing ideas with, like, what if we just fed children some healthier meals? Can we all agree that that might...
Communist.
Yes. So I do think that of his films, this might have a wider reach as far as some of the topics that he touched on as... And I think that that's a good thing. And so, I don't know. I'm going to give this, 8 out of 10 baseball caps.
Did we all give it 8? Is that
no. I give it 6.
6, okay.
Just but, enter in the
but I'd also like to say I don't really like his style that much.
You mean you don't like sweatshirts?
I don't like, no.
With jeans?
I don't.
Hoodies.
I wear a three-piece suit everywhere I go. The audience doesn't know that I'm lying because they can't see me.
Okay.
Which is why I will tell them the truth. She's wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt and a baseball cap.
Shh. And giant glasses.
And shoulder-length, straggly hair.
Hey! It actually
no,
is.
No, that's Chris.
Yeah, except for the shoulder-length hair.
Aww. Aww, you have luscious manes in my eyes.